Hallelujah. Thanks, music team, for the wonderful work you do in bringing the presence of God, and the media team. I don't know how you do this, but you guys are awesome. Amen. We thank the leadership of the church for this wonderful program. And I thank the leadership again for giving me this opportunity once again to speak to the Church of the Living God. Amen. This morning, there's quite a lot on my heart, but I don't know how to bring them out. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will minister to you. There's one thing I would ask, that you commit your heart. I think the Lord impresses on me to talk about the heart very much. But as you listen, I want you to take a minute or maybe up some 30 seconds and commit your heart unto the Lord. Shall we pray? Just ask the Lord to speak to your heart. Not your mind, not your spirit, obviously not your body, but your heart. Father, we thank you so much for Raglan Road, a people you are building for your good, a people you are building for years to come, a church you are building for Jesus. We give you praise this morning, Father. Your presence is always already with us. But we ask, oh God, that you also speak to us and remind us of our call and purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've been given a task or a theme to talk on repurpose for action. Don't worry, we're not going to run around and be doing all kinds of things here. Usually these meetings in other places, it turns into something else, but I'm very mindful. And I pray that the Lord will speak to you, as I said before. We've been looking into the book of Ephesians, and we know that this book was written for believers in Christ. I've had previous sessions, which is all brilliant. I just want to add a few things. The book talks about our posture, and it talks about sitting, walking, and standing positions of the believer. Sadly, it doesn't talk about lying. So the believer has not been called to lie around. You've been called to sit, walk, or stand. And that is it. And it's alongside the book of Psalms. First, Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or who does not stand in the way of sinners, or who does not sit in the seat of mockers. It's a similar pattern. But his delight is in the law of his God, meditating on it day and night. So if you want to really understand your call, your life as a Christian, you have been called to sit in higher positions with Christ. And that is what Ephesians chapter 1 to 3 is talking about. Your walk as or conduct on the surface of the earth. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 6 to 9. Your walk in Christ. This is what it spells out. And then to top it up, the church has been called to stand against the schemes of the enemy. And that's Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 to 19. So the church's wealth is manifested in his walk and his welfare, or his possession is manifested through warfare. And it's all of us. You need to understand. And I believe that in the last 3 weeks, justice has been made to this topic. So I won't dwell so much on it. I just wanted to chip in this very quickly. See, so when we come to God's eternal purpose, God's eternal intention, it concerns his son and the church. And that is called the ecclesia, which is the body of Christ, of which you and I are part of. So biblically, there are only two nations. It's either the nation of Jew or other nations. You see, everyone thinks that it's either them or other people. And so the Jews thought that they were God's favorite. And one thing separated the Jews and other people, and that was the law. You see, as long as you are not doing what God is saying we should do through Moses, you are not part of us. And so there was a sharp enmity between the Jews and the Gentiles. The Gentiles are not just the blacks, but Americans, any person who is a non-Jew. And to the extent that the Jews thought that, in fact, the Gentiles were fuel for hellfire, you are good for nothing.
And these Jews wouldn't even go closer to a dying person. We see that in what Jesus illustrated on the parable of the Good Samaritan. He's a Jew. He's too busy for God. To the extent that he sees a Samaritan dying and says, no, I'm too busy. I'm not going to go close to him. But God had a different plan. When Jesus met the woman at the well, the woman said, haven't you forgotten I'm a Samaritan and you are talking to me? There was a division. But church, God's plan is different. God's intention is that all of us will come to one family. So look to your left and your right. The person you see there is actually your brother or your sister. That is God's intention. You can laugh at it all you want, but that is the plan. You see, so let's take our first scripture reading, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17 to 22. The main scripture. It says, he brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because what Christ has done for us. So now, you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens, listen to the word, along with all God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are one house. Together, we are one house. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And Jesus being the cornerstone, Christ Jesus being the cornerstone himself, we are carefully joined in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made as part of his dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. Hallelujah. You see, if I'm allowed time, I can talk about this for weeks. You see, I do building services. So when I talk about, when the Bible talks about Jesus being the cornerstone, every building being put up has a first stone. So they put the cornerstone there, and they put another stone on top, and eventually it becomes a building. Now, what the scripture is telling us here is that Jesus is the cornerstone. Peter says, you are a living stone. You see, you are not a brick. A stone is developed by God. A brick is man-made. So as you sit there, know that God is doing something in your life. He is implanting Jesus into your life because he wants to use you to build a house for himself. It's not now. It's something of the future. Our going to work and coming and all the hassles and all that is secondary. God has an ultimate plan. And the ultimate plan is that he will create a new family together. So the Bible says you have a new citizenship. You know where you come from? Your citizenship is in heaven. And so you have access into this place. You are neither a Jew or a Gentile, but belong to the household of God. And so you know what? You have one obligation: to love your brother. The man sitting next to you, you may differ in color, you may differ in status, you may have $1 million in the account, or you may have £1 in your account, it doesn't really matter. What matters most is that we belong to one household of God. I don't see people fighting, the same kids fighting themselves in the house. And so we must love one another. Because the way God sees us is different from Tanya, you see, I'm your brother. Hallelujah. And that is why when Jesus rose from the dead, he says, Mary, don't touch me now, because I go to the Father and your Father. Go and tell my brethren. You see, that language changed when Jesus rose from the dead. Go and tell my brethren that I go to their Father and your Father. Church, we have something powerful. We belong to one household. We belong to one family. And God is building a house. And the amazing thing is that because of this, Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen generation. You, all of you, are a royal priesthood. We've been called as one people to go and proclaim his marvelous light. Now, I need to say this. The Christian life is not an individual walk. It's a collective walk. So, you see your brother in need, you support them. You see someone going down, you hold their hands. Because we've been called to possess together. And that is what the promised land was for. It wasn't for just Moses to go, but bring them, let them go. If you read the book of Hebrews, it says, let us. It mentions that 12 times. It's not one person. Therefore, I need to tell you this. You have a big obligation in seeing things differently. Second scripture reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 says, so we have to stop evaluating others from human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. Verse 17. This means that if anyone belongs to Christ, he's become a new person. The old life is gone. Behold, all things are new. You are a new person. You have a new identity. And you need to see it this way. I go back to Ephesians 2:19. So, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. Your citizenship is in heaven. You still have access to heaven. When you pray, heaven answers. God wants you to be a possession for Christ. Do you know that all of us are going to be packaged together and be given to Christ as a gift? You are a gift to Christ. And that is what the Bible calls the inheritance of the saints. We have been made as a promise to Christ. God has promised to give us as an inheritance for Christ. And so, you may have visited some beautiful places on the surface of the earth. How many, I don't know which beautiful places Robbie visited in the past, or anyone. It doesn't compare to how God sees you. You know how God sees you? He says you are his workmanship. A special thing, something he's working on. His masterpiece. Masterpiece. Do you know what a masterpiece is? An artist draws something and looks. Some of these artistic work can be sold for millions, but it doesn't compare to who you are as God sees you. I'm telling you all this because there is something else I want you to know. There's a role you must play in your heart. In order to fully let all the good things God is doing in your life settle in you. And so Paul pauses twice in the letter and prays twice. He says in chapter 1, he prays that you receive revelation. And then as he goes on in chapter 3, he prays that you have the experiential encounter with this. So Ephesians 3, 16 and 17, says, I pray from his glorious, unlimited resource that he will empower your inner strength through Christ. And that is one of the things I'll be dwelling on from now on. He prays on 7 aspects. Strength in your inner man, Christ dwelling in your heart by faith, you being rooted and grounded, that you will be able to comprehend and have know the love of Christ, and that you be filled to the fullness of God, because there is a power that is working in you. The power that is working in you is the power that raised Christ from the dead. But for that to be effective, you see, the inner man must be given strength. Church, let's not think that you will be there and then all of a sudden you will grow. Spiritual things don't come to us at will. Now, what I've been meditating on this week was our spirit, our soul, and our body in the line
in the light of these things.
Church, when Christ comes into our life, he doesn't come into our heart. He comes into our spirit. Because the spirit is what was dead that he's come to resurrect. So he's in our spirit. But you know what? Ultimately, he wants a place in your heart. And your heart is in between your spirit and your body. Your body is so strong, it keeps pulling the heart. It keeps pulling the heart, keeps pulling the soul. It makes you disobey. It makes you unwilling. But Paul is praying that that inner man, that soul aspect of you, will receive strength. Until God gives you strength, you cannot get closer to him. And so the Bible is saying that work out your salvation. It's a workout. I don't see anybody going to the gym once and then, hooray, I've arrived. It's a workout. Naturally, man loves the choice of knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge of good and evil. Mind you, in the garden, two trees were placed before man. Good and evil, knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. But man's choice is always to go for knowledge of good and evil. If I know more than you, then I'm there. Christ doesn't come as a choice, obvious choice for us. So what God did was, he didn't want man to be puffed up, choosing knowledge of good and evil, and then come for the knowledge of eternal life. So he placed a boundary. Let's read Genesis 3:22. Then the Lord God said, look, the human beings have become like us, knowing both good and evil. What if they reach out, take the fruit from the tree of life and eat it? Then they will live forever. Listen, do you know that Christ was in the garden? That's a shock, isn't it? Christ Jesus was standing as a tree, symbolizing a tree. Listen, look at what this is saying. If you eat it, you live forever. What do we eat and live forever? I am eternal life. So man's choice is always to go for good and evil. Man's choice is not to go for eternal life. Now, as I speak to you, when Christ comes into your life, he resides in your spirit. But he wants to have a place in your heart. It's like opening the door. I heard Garrett talking about it, and it amazed me because in the last few weeks I've been talking about that. Sometimes we only give Christ access to the doorway and then open the chambers of our heart to him. But the truth is, he wants to occupy every chamber of our heart and be Lord over that. And so, man has been prevented from just choosing it casually. Unless there's a deliberate effort to choose him into you. And Paul is saying that you need inner strength for that. He illustrating this, you see the woman who had the issue of blood. Bible said, she said to herself, if I shall touch his garment. You must decide in yourself to touch Jesus. When you do, he imparts strength to you to receive of him. Don't think that you will just have God's blessing when you live in self-denial. And I'll mention this again with Jacob. Jacob encounters the angel, not an angel. The angel actually is Jesus. You see, if you look through scripture, Jesus is presented on almost every single page. Bible says he encountered the angel of the Lord who came as a man. And that is actually Jesus. I don't have time to go through that. Now, Jesus wanted to impact him. Jacob asked, bless me before you go. And he says, I can't bless you.
What is your name? You think God didn't know the name of Jacob? He did. And now he says, I'm Jacob. And then the angel tells him, you are no longer Jacob. You are a prince. Now, what I'm trying to illustrate to you is that previously, he had lived in self-denial. He had told his father that I am Esau. You remember that story? He had gone to the father and said, I am Esau. So all this while, he was working with a false identity. I am Esau, going for blessings here and there. But God looks at him and see a carnal Jacob. So before he gets the exchange of God's blessing, he had to confess who he is. God says, what is your name? He says, I am Jacob. Oh, that's it. To receive the impartation and the strength in your innermost man, sometimes you would have to confess the things you are struggling with. Speak out and ask God to touch you. I see everywhere people saying, I am this, I don't want to offend the lesbians and all those things. You see, that is not your identity. Your true identity is that God will transform you and conform you to the image of his dear son. And church, let's not belittle how our heart can be. Our heart can be stubborn. Mark chapter 3 verse 5. Our heart can be blinded from the truth. Mark chapter 6 verse 52. It can be far from God. It can believe or doubt. God's word can be taken from our heart. It can burn whilst we hear the message of Christ. It can remain true to the Lord. It can open to God's truth. It can also be foolish and darkened. But if your heart will receive God, you need to be given strength in your innermost being. Most of the times, the tree of life or eternal life will be present, but people will still choose knowledge of good and evil. As I've said, don't think that these things will just come to you. So as you prepare to take action, you must make deliberate effort to choose Jesus. You must make deliberate effort to come behind him and decide to touch him for an impact. You may think, oh, what are you talking about? I don't have issues with blood flowing for 12 years. But I can tell you there is something you are struggling with probably for the last 20 years. No doctor can heal it. No amount of money can heal it. Unless you encounter Jesus. There's something each and every one of us has that when you look into God's word, you must remove that thing and replace it with his word. See, as some of us were coming to church, you looked into the mirror and saw yourself, and I could see Ralph in the mirror, you know. But when you look into the mirror of God's word, you see Christ. You don't see yourself. And when you see Christ, you realize that there's something here and Christ doesn't have it. So you decide in your mind that I want that aspect of Christ to reflect me. Hallelujah. So we take out certain things from our life and then replace with the things of Christ. And as we do, Paul says, Christ will be formed in your heart. The formation is not just you accept Christ and boom, Christ is there big. No. He grows. He forms into your heart. And when you read John chapter 15, he says, then when he's forming your heart, he says, I will come with my Father and will make our home in you. Hallelujah. And when Christ makes his home in you, that is why you'll be able to say with Paul, I have been crucified with Christ.
It's no longer I who live, but the life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God. So, there is work to do in our hearts. If we need to align ourselves with the divine truth in what God is preparing for us, if you want to pray and receive answers, sometimes our prayer is of the flesh. And that is why James says you don't receive any answers. Because Christ not fully formed in the heart is always desiring things of the flesh. And you won't receive any answers. But this afternoon or this morning, I want you to emulate Mary. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42, says, "And Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened your heart. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparation to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me with all these things?' Jesus says, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but the things you need are indeed only one. Mary has chosen.'" We all have Mary Martha syndrome in our life. The tendency to think that God in your life needs food. So you have to be preparing food for him. But Jesus said, "If I have food to eat, do you know?" God doesn't need too much of our preach, but God wants that in spite of our busyness, we craft time and sit under his feet. So he teaches you. So he speaks to you. And when God speaks to you, you know one interesting thing? Nobody can take it from you. It becomes your word. It becomes something you hold on to. I don't know, I have several things to share on this Gabby incident Pastor Kev was talking about here. But when I kept asking the Lord, he said, "I'll bless the Lord at all times." And I'm like, "Is this Psalm 34? He says, "Yes," because I had not read it in a while. So I took Psalm 34, read it. "I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth." And then on verse 4, he says, "The poor man sought the Lord, and he delivered him out of all his fears." When I saw that, it jumped into my heart that God had delivered us from anything we are afraid of. One of the things is sitting at Jesus' feet. You may have questions, but learn to sit at Jesus' feet and let him speak a word into your spirit. When he does, you are not afraid of tomorrow. You are not worried of what is to come. I don't know, but review the content of your heart. And let this be your continual prayer. The Lord, I pray for inner strength for my spirit to receive you. Because sometimes when God has prepared his servant, anybody who stands here to speak, I believe, has been prepared by God to chip in something into your life. And sometimes you simply don't want to listen. Not that you don't even want to listen. Sometimes simply because you are too busy doing something else. Or your mind is distracted. So Jesus talks about a man going out to sow seed. Some fall on good soil. Some fall on stony. Some fall on thorny. But the intention of the word is to fall on a good soil in your heart, so that Christ will be formed there. And it's important to check the soil of your heart. It doesn't have thorns and stones and tassels here and there. And if it is to happen, you need strength in your inner woman. The inner man is, or the inner woman is that part that wants to do good, but can't do it. You really want to pray, but you can't. Sometimes you even forget. Because it lacks strength. Jesus said to the disciples, the spirit or the soul is willing, but the flesh is weak. This afternoon, I pray that your quest will be for inner strength. Maybe you need to reread the word of God a bit more carefully. Don't read it like newspapers or quickly try and grab knowledge and then feel superior. But the intention is to glean for Jesus. Choose the tree of life. Hallelujah. Take time to transform yourself. It's not about outward appearance, but it's that of your inner man, a gentle and a quiet spirit. Hallelujah. Where is your heart? In the building of God's temple, God's church, Raglan Road. Where are you? Let this be your prayer, I pray. Lord, touch my innermost being. Maybe the areas of your life where you need to grow up more. Grow up more. I'm not trying to be negative, but grow up in the knowledge of the word of God. Maybe we need to show up more. Show up when it comes to the things of God. Own up as Jacob did. I am Jacob. I've been living in denial. Touch me, oh God. Touch me one more time. Own up where you are living in denial. Sometimes you could be difficult to get along with. You could think that you are better off than somebody. No. We belong to one household. And God is working on all of us. Let Christ build his home in you. As Mary and Martha, when he goes out, Christ wants to come to your house and relax. Open to every door of your house and have access. As Gareth said last week, there could be areas in your house where you say, no, don't come here. Oh, no, don't come here. Oh, Christ, you can only stay in the living room. That is the most cleanest place for you. Yes, it's possible. But Christ wants to be Lord over you and use you to build others for his kingdom. Let's repurpose to take action. God bless you. Hallelujah. I don't know about how do you want to respond to this, but maybe you need to bow, or if you want to stand, if you can, and ask the Lord, build in me strength. If you want to play, he is Lord. He's risen from the dead. He is Lord. Which area of your life, of your heart, do you want to give to God? And in fact, it's a wrong question. I would say give every area of your heart to God. You can't give some and leave others. Because he wants to rule in you. He wants to take preeminence in you. I love what Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. The life I live now in the flesh, I live because the Son of God lives in me. You want to bow, please, if you can. And pray. You may not fully know all these when we talk about praying. Sometimes it's like somebody should pray, so I hear. But God wants you to learn how to pray. You can touch heaven as you are seated here. Jesus said, if you bind on earth, it will be bound in heaven. As you live, you're a human being, but you are of this world, but not of the world. Your citizenship is in heaven. And I need to remind you of that. Your citizenship is in heaven. Pray and commit your heart to the Lord as God builds his church, as God develops his kingdom. What role are you playing? It's a collective thing, but we must work out our own salvation with fear and trembling by allowing Christ to be formed, be preeminent in us, so that he will use us, the living stone, continue on what others have started, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, built on what Jesus has started. Somebody will be built on you. You are built on others. Because you only here for a time period. 70 years, 90 years, 100 years. You are gone. You will go. I will go. But will you be fuel for hellfire? Or you will be a stone for God to build? Will you allow God to work in you? See, Saul, you are clicking against the prick. You are pricking against. You're working too hard. But one thing is important, that I come and dwell in you. Commit your heart to the Lord.